All right, let's welcome in our Brad Wilcox had a man bun. Maybe that's why he didn't play last year.
BYU. Could be.
He showed up to media day with a man bun, and they kicked him off the team.
Well, I think man buns should be banned anywhere anyways.
All right, let's welcome in our next guest. Switch it up. Talk some Jazz basketball. You can find him on Twitter at Clips Nation SBN as the Jazz have a huge game tonight against the Clippers. He's part of the Clips Nation website for SB Nation. It is Lucas Hand. Lucas, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Lucas.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Lucas, the Jazz getting ready to take on the Clippers tonight. This feels like a big game for the Jazz. They're a half game ahead of the Clips. Now with the Clippers having so much experience in the playoffs and we're only midway through the season, they're obviously not healthy. Does this feel like a big game on the Clippers' side of the ball?
No, I think it's a much bigger game for the Jazz. You know, for the Clippers, I guess it doesn't really mean that much with Chris Paul out, even though it's obviously significant in the standings. As long as Chris Paul is out, it's hard to take too much away. But for Utah, I think it would be kind of a big win to, or even more than that, a bad loss to lose to the Clippers, even without Chris Paul. The Clippers aren't really too worried about seeding. I think they either want to jump up to the 3 spot or slide all the way down to 6. They don't want any part of Golden State in the second round. So as far as battling for 4-5, I don't think that's something that's hugely concerning for the Clippers. But I think from Utah's perspective, like you said, a little less experienced, a younger team, it's a bigger deal to get a better seed this year so you have something to build on going forward.
Seems like Blake Griffin has really hit his stride lately. What do you think's been his biggest key to success?
Just health. I mean, he was having a tremendous year before he got injured. Obviously, in December, he had that knee surgery that kept him out through most of January. And then since he's been back, he's just been amazing. You know, today he was named Western Conference Player of the Week. He almost averaged a triple-double in the last week. I think he was at like 26 points, 10 rebounds, and 9 assists. And that's kind of what his line has been like in his 9 or so games since he came back from that injury. He's just been, you know, he's been who we knew he was. He's a fantastic player.
Lucas Hand's our guest, 1320K fan, as we get you ready for the Jazz and the Clippers tonight. I'm not sure Jazz fans are in a position where they are thrilled about facing either Memphis or the Clippers. I think if the Jazz feel like they can get home court advantage, at least they'll have a puncher's chance to win this series. But what is the view of the Jazz from the Clippers' perspective? Is that a team they said, hey, we'll meet them in the first round, whether we're the 5 seed or the 4 seed, that's expected to be a victory in the first round for the Clips?
Yeah, I think the Clippers are at a point where they have to beat anyone not named Golden State. You know, I think if the Clippers go into a series against Utah or Oklahoma City or Memphis and they don't win, I think that's a big letdown. And I think even Houston, who, you know, has had a good year, the Clippers expect to be better than them when healthy. And the Spurs are a team who the Clippers have kind of thoroughly dominated in the last couple of years. So no one especially scares the Clippers except for the Warriors. And the Clippers might be the worst against the Warriors of any, you know, Utah plays the Warriors better than the Clippers do. Memphis does. Oklahoma City. They all play the Warriors better than the Clippers do. So it's kind of like for the Clippers, they just want to avoid the Warriors for as long as possible, and they feel good kind of against the rest of these teams.
What's the biggest key for DeAndre Jordan to have success going up against the Stifle Tower and Rudy Gobert?
I think it's just engagement. I mean, obviously Gobert's one of the best centers in the league. He's, you know, DeAndre, they're both up there. But a big thing for DeAndre that you notice when you watch game in, game out, possession by possession, is that he's not always bringing it at the same level, play by play. Sometimes he'll get out of the play and stay out instead of hustling to get back in and get a rebound. So rather than consistently great play, you tend to notice really good plays and really bad plays from DeAndre. He fluctuates a lot. If he can bring it tonight mentally because he's going up, you know, such a big matchup against Gobert, he could have a much better game than if he's kind of half awake. I think Gobert should be able to have the upper hand in that matchup.
Lucas Hand's our guest, 1320K fan. You mentioned an interesting scenario, and I actually think a couple of teams will view it this way. Is it better for the Clippers? Let's say they were playing between the 5 seed and the 6 seed, and it came down to the last couple of games of the season. The 5 seed would mean they have to go and play at Utah. The 6 seed would mean they would have to go and play at Houston, who likely looks like they're going to lock up the 3rd seed in the West. Which would they rather get, understanding that in the second round, if they were to advance, they would avoid the Golden State Warriors?
They would definitely rather want the 6 seed. I mean, you know, none of these teams are pushovers. You look at the West has 7 really good basketball teams. Houston's, you're not going to sweep Houston. You're not going to sweep Utah. You're not going to sweep any of them. But the Clippers feel like they've got the upper hand, at least marginally, in the matchup against five of those teams. The last team being Golden State, the Clippers feel like they don't have a shot. I think some of the other teams, you look at like Memphis, I don't know if Memphis necessarily is more scared of Golden State or San Antonio. Those are both really tough matchups, and that's the case for most of the teams. From the Clippers' perspective, the Warriors are like, they haven't beaten the Warriors in 3 years, even in like a regular season game. And the Spurs, the Clippers blew out by 20 in San Antonio and then beat by double digits in L.A. without Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. So the Clippers really feel good against the Spurs, but they are terrified of the Warriors.
So what's happened with the Clippers in the playoffs? I know they were injured last year, and that led to a loss against the Blazers. And years before that, they beat the Spurs and then fell to the Houston Rockets. I mean, what has been their issue in the postseason that's kept them from getting out of that second round?
It's really consistently been health. You know, even that Houston series, which they totally blew that series, having a 3-1 lead. But you look at why did they blow that 3-1 lead to Houston, a big part of it, you know, just analyzing, a big part of it has to be that they didn't have depth, so they were dead tired by the time they got into the late part of that second round series. And then Chris Paul missed games at the beginning of the series. So you're dead tired, and you miss chances to close out a team early because Chris Paul was out with that hamstring from the first round. And going back year by year, the Clippers' postseason failures almost always seem to coincide with injuries. A couple of the series they've lost, the first year they were together, they lost to the Spurs in the second round. The Spurs were a significantly better basketball team. They lost to Oklahoma City in the second round 1 year. It was a hard-fought six-game series, a lot of close games. Oklahoma City was probably a little bit better of a basketball team. But you look at the disappointing years, the year they lose to Memphis in the first round, Houston in the second round, Portland in the first round, those 3 years, the downfall of the team has always been injuries to the star players.
Could the Clippers be contenders for the services of Carmelo Anthony at some point?
Yeah, I think, you know, as much as anyone has a chance, the Clippers do, because Carmelo's no trade clause really opens the door, in that the Clippers don't have the assets or draft picks to trade for superstar players. You know, Utah's one of the teams that does kind of have a stockpile of prospects that they could cash in at any time. The Clippers don't have that. The cupboard is bare. The only reason they have a chance at a guy like Carmelo Anthony is because the Knicks, instead of shopping him to 29 teams, are limited to two or three teams that can make offers. But yeah, I think because of that, if a Carmelo deal is to be had, the Clippers are probably the most likely landing spot, although I think a deal is more likely to happen over the summer than right now in the middle of the season.
You can find him on Twitter at Clips Nation, SBN, editor-in-chief of Clips Nation, part of the SB Network. It is Lucas Hand. Lucas, we appreciate your time. Great stuff. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Lucas.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.